Good evening, you're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is a half hour of sketch comedy. Yes, that's right, it's time for the White Noise Show. And as always, coming up straight afterwards is the White Noise After Show, this week hosted by myself and joined by special friend Connor Neckleputt, who's joined me in the studio right now. How you doing?
Hello there, Simon. I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Excited for another half hour of comedy.
Oh, our special friend is always excited for another half hour of comedy, I'll tell you that.
And we've got a bit of guest writing from you as well this week, haven't we?
I don't want to toot my own...
I don't want to hurt my own horn a bit,
but yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want to toot my trumpet, hurt my horn.
We're excited for that. And just a reminder before we start, as always, you can keep up with us during the week on Twitter and Facebook at White Noise UBC.
We don't really do anything during the week, but you can do that.
Yeah, well, occasionally we post some good stuff on there. Don't discourage people.
We post a lot of good stuff, but we're not actually doing anything.
All right, well, thanks for that, you know, good bit of advertising.
What I'm trying to say is, like, text us now. Come on, like, our phone numbers are there to be had.
No, they're not. But if you do want to get involved right now, then send your questions in. Anything to do with the content in the show, whether you got something good to say or you're offended or something you want to talk about, send in your questions and we'll discuss them on the after show. So send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com.
No resumes, please.
Unless you've got some good writing skills, then maybe we should talk.
No, we're already booked.
And you can also check out the best of White Noise through the week at whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. But without further ado, I think it's time for some White Noise.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by the College Textbook Association, investing in our own portfolios. First up tonight, someone shopping.
Good morning, madam.
Is it? Not at my age.
Oh, sorry. Well, can I help you?
Not unless you have a pillow back there to smother me with.
No. This is a game shop. It's a happy place.
I know where we are. I'm not senile.
I know. That was for the audience.
What?
What can I get you?
A game. A good one. It's my birthday.
Oh, well, let's be quick, because obviously you've got a massive party to be getting to.
Not at my age. No parties. Only wakes and the occasional christening. I know which I prefer. At least at funerals you have something to talk about.
I suppose. So what game would you like?
Game?
You came in for a game.
Did I?
Yes.
It's my birthday, you know.
I heard.
I should get a game.
How about this one?
What is it?
Cards Against Humanity.
No, I want a board game.
Okay, how about Clue?
What's that?
It's like posh people murdering each other?
Oh, I don't need that. I have Downton Abbey.
Okay, then. How about something classic, like Chinese checkers?
I remember when it was just checkers.
Never mind. How about Candyland?
Not with these teeth. Maybe with my good teeth.
Then this one, everyone loves this one. Settlers of Catan.
Oh, nothing to do with immigrants.
It's not, forget it.
You must have something good.
I don't know. Risk.
What's that?
You strategize to invade other countries and take over the world.
Oh, like the good old days. I'll take it.
Really? Oh, great.
It's perfect for my 100th birthday.
Oh, you're 100. Then I can't sell this to you.
Why not?
Well, this game is for players aged between 10 and 99 years old.
What?
That's what it says on the box.
Why, though?
Well, it's to stop people choking you on the pieces.
Well, forget it then. I'll just go spend my money on better things. I hear across the road there's a sale on coffins. Leaving it too late, that's how they get you. The gits.
Oh, I quite agree. The world is full of assholes.
I don't want to be buried. I want to be raspberried. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back.
Welcome back, Elvis and Dolly.
Hey, sugar tits. I ain't seen you around.
What? It's me, Elvis. Dolly Parton.
Huh?
We took down North Korea together. We rescued Rasputin from the gulag. We saved Santa.
I'm really sorry, dude. I'm so drunk a lot of the time.
Try looking down.
Oh, Dolly! I remember you, pair.
All right, now that we are reacquainted, we have some serious business to attend to. Thanks to Elvis killing Harry Styles last week,
my bad.
Simon Cowell has nearly lost $1 billion and, in retaliation, has captured Bono.
Oh, God.
Oh, for the last time, he ain't God.
So, you must rescue Bono from Cowell's secret lair on his private island in the North Sea.
The North Sea, man? Really? Why the hell would you buy an island off the coast of England?
Cowell may be evil, but he's unrelentingly British. And who needs a tan when you can slap on the fake stuff?
So, how was touring Japan?
Oh, the usual. Ate some sushi, drank some sake, bought some schoolgirls' underwears.
What?
You went in Rome.
I thought you went in Japan.
It's good to be back, Elvis.
Man, it's cold as hell out here.
I know. My nipples are so cold, they're starting to pick up radar signals.
Yeah? Well, my testicles are so far inside of me, they could be mistaken for ovaries.
Well, we're getting close. I can smell his cologne.
Really? I can only smell bad breath.
Yes, that's your breath.
Do you have any bourbon?
Why?
So I can brush my teeth.
Just stand downwind of me.
How's that gonna help?
Trust me, it does. Ah, land ho!
Oh, where?
No, not that kind of ho.
Aw, shucks.
Looks like the easiest way in is down that chute.
Well, someone's got to take out that henchman.
That ain't no henchman. That's Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, sweet. I love Top Gear. He's a British redneck, man.
No, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, who's that?
She won the first American Idol.
Oh, bullshit, man. I was the first American Idol. Well, maybe Abe Lincoln, but then it's me.
No, it's a show. You win a recording contract.
You win? You win a recording contract? Oh, hell no. Hey, Kelly.
Hi. Elvis, this is what got you in this mess in the first place.
Am I gonna have to sing her songs as well now?
Let's hope to God, no. Now get in the tunnel.
Ladies first.
Fine. Oh, it's a little tight.
Come on.
Don't push me. Whoa! Oh my God, I'm stuck, Elvis. My boobs are jammed.
I'm coming.
Nope, don't.
Hallelujah! Sorry. See, that was easy.
If you've popped one of my boobs, I'm gonna sue you.
Oh, they'll be fine. Trust me. This ain't the first time I drop-kicked fake titties.
Someone's coming. Hide. Huh. That's weird. That guard looks just like Kelly Clarkson, too.
Oh, my God. She's a zombie.
No. She's a clone.
But why her?
Isn't it obvious? Because no one notices her anymore. She's basically invisible.
Oh. Well, we're really holding that damn fucking second coming of Christ, asshole.
Bono is being held in the master bedroom, apparently.
Where Cal sleeps?
I don't actually think Cowell sleeps. We're gonna have to kill both of those Clarksons, but quietly this time, Elvis.
Well, why don't you show me how it's done, Dolly?
Fine. You will never be as good as Madonna. What?
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 What? What?
No!
Damn, their heads exploded! Does that work on all women?
No, just pop stars. Oh my goodness!
Oh, Jesus Christ, man!
Get his gag out!
I ain't touching that.
The one in his mouth. He can get the other one out himself.
Thank you! I thought I was going to die here. Give me my glasses. I can't see without my sunglasses.
Here.
We have to get out of here. Now. He'll be back any second.
I ain't scared of no leather pant diva.
How wrong, diva? He's hired someone even worse. It's...
Good evening. We weren't expecting visitors.
Oh, Lord, no.
Oh, not you, man. Oh, anyone but you.
Yes, it's me. Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, man, are the rumors true?
Yes, my reputation precedes me.
Now the ass gag makes sense.
Yes, my torture methods are renowned. Using my methods, Bono has given me the next 5 years of mindless U2 hits. Soon, I will be richer than Bono.
Wrong question. Why the North Sea, man?
It was cheap. Now enough chit-chat. You can stay until tomorrow's first ferry. If you'll just follow me, I'll show you to your gas chamber. I mean, your room.
Hey, not so fast, pretty boy.
Oh, you gonna fight?
Nah, I was just wondering if you could hold this for me while I tie my shoe.
Sure. As you know, my politeness is also world-renowned.
Everyone, run!
Huh?
Ryan Seacrest. I prefer watercress. Next up tonight, we check out footage uncovered of Hitler's first political rally back in 1923.
Thank you. Thank you. Settle down. Good evening. Quieten down. Thank you. Welcome to the first ever meeting of the Nationalist Socialist German Workers' Party. Oh, that's a mouthful. We should really think about shortening it. By the way, my name is Adolf Hitler, but you can call me Al. I am so excited you could all come tonight, except for you. I already told you you should leave, but you are just ignoring me. This is very rude. Before we begin, just a quick reminder to hold on to your ticket stubs, as you need them to get your free potato salad and bratwurst later. Now, on to business. We have come here today to discuss what we should do about the issues facing Germany, such as... the economy. It is very, very bad right now. This much is very obvious. And I, for one, know who is to blame. It's the bloody government. You know, it's the same old faces every year. What is that about, yeah? I mean, if we have to spill a bit of blood to get a change, maybe that is something that we should think about. You know, just put it out there. Just maybe think about it. And another thing, we need to decide on a flag for the pie. I was thinking something patriotic like German sausage, but my advisors tell me it looked like a big schlong. Any other suggestions?
Maybe a German shepherd?
No, I really hate sheep.
How about a nice German beer?
No, we are not designing the logo for a frat. Forget it. I'll just hire a nice graphic designer. Anyway, the last bit of business for today. Please, can you pay your membership fees? I've already paid the deposit on printing our members' t-shirts. I need your checks before you leave, or else I will be forced to write you a very strongly worded letter. Ooh, that felt good to shout.
I wouldn't join the Nazi Party, as I'm already a registered member of the Republican Party. Next up tonight, it's a different kind of party. I said party a lot there.
Cheers, everyone, and thanks again for coming to our little soiree.
Our pleasure, Craig. You pair are such good fun.
Oh, stop you. I'm going as red as Annie.
Oh, Tom and I love hanging out with you guys, don't we, Tom?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's so good to have two of you living in the building. It adds a bit of colour and property value.
Well, Brian and myself are delighted to be here, aren't we, darling?
Absolutely. You are all so fabulous and welcoming. It's just super.
Well, we'll definitely see you soon. Ooh, you both must come to my friend's bachelorette party next week. My friends will love you.
Oh, that sounds lovely, Kendra. Ciao for now.
Ciao.
Ciao. Say ciao, Tom.
Ciao, lads.
Thank God for that.
Too right. I can't keep that bloody voice going any longer.
I don't want to go to some hag's bachelorette party.
Well, me neither, but I couldn't tell her to piss off right there and then.
That's sod it. Turn that crap music off and let's watch the footy.
Too right. I'll get some lagers. And maybe after that, fancy a shag?
Aye, go on then.
And I wanna walk with you. cloudy day.
Be careful to avoid stereotypes. Just because I wear glasses and have body odor doesn't mean I'm good with computers. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back. All right, Carl, I've got a plan. Grab a shovel.
Hang on. I'm not being tricked into picking up your dog's poo out the garden again.
I don't have a dog.
What?
Never mind that. I've got a real plan. We are going grave robbing.
Who are we going to sell a grave to? I don't know anyone who's dead.
It's what's inside we want.
What, maggots?
No, jewellery, heirlooms.
What about zombies?
That is a chance we're just going to have to take.
This is really hard work.
Well, I didn't know the gate was locked. We'll be under the wall soon.
Which one should we try?
Look for an expensive-looking headstone.
This one looks pretty good. It's got a rich-looking bearded guy on it.
That's Jesus, Carl.
I bet he's got some good heirlooms with him.
Shut up. Just, look, let's do this one. He was dead at 65, unmarried. He must have loads of money. Start digging.
You do it.
But then who's going to be the lookout?
Fair enough. I've got a stitch seal. Please, let me have a rest.
Already? You've barely dug a molehill.
I'm knackered from digging under that wall. You do it, you lazy bastard.
Fine, give it here. I don't know what you're complaining about. This is easy. You are the laziest kid I have ever had the Oh, God, I think I'm going to be sick. Oh, forget it. I didn't get into crime to work hard. Don't rob graves, kids. Rob banks. Much more sanitary. Next up tonight, a man needs to make a purchase.
Hi there. Welcome to 11-7. How can I help?
Hi. Can I have 2 packs of extra small condoms? 1 bottle of lube for him. Yeah. That magazine on the top shelf there.
You mean Reader's Wives?
No, the next one over. Reader's Husbands, yeah. And, oh, I'll also take a bottle of that hemorrhoid cream and a packet of anal beads, please.
Anything else?
Yeah, actually, do you guys have batteries?
What kind?
I think AAA, I think.
Aren't they the smaller ones?
Well, if you're going to be a dick about it, just forget it. I mean, it's too embarrassing as it is.
Last up tonight, someone's eating dinner.
Well, this is a nice restaurant.
Oh, yes. I always eat here. I was going to suggest... No.
The menu seems nice, too. I've never had a Baconator before.
Oh, it's to die for. Literally, I think they're killing me.
Sometimes I feel like a daredevil eating in a franchised restaurant.
That's genius!
Brett, I don't mind you having your friend here, even though this is supposed to be a date, but I'd appreciate it if you didn't whisper in front of me.
He's not my friend.
I'm not?
Well, I like you, but it's not the same when I'm paying for it.
Sorry, you're paying for him to be here? Brett, is he a rent boy?
No, I'm Gareth.
He's my necropathist.
Necropathist?
I observe the way people die.
What? Like a historian?
No. People pay me, and then I watch how they die. You see, my value is that I can write a more fanciful article about their death.
Isn't that amazing? He is wonderful. Look, what he was whispering to me was ways that we could frame my eventual death. Mm. Look, tell her that last one.
What I said was, Brett should be killed fighting in a war.
Which one?
Well, I don't know what it's called. We haven't started it yet. But anyway, I'm sorry to have been whispering, but I just didn't want to interrupt your date.
Isn't he brilliant? His resume's great too. Tell her what you told me earlier.
Okay. You know Michael Jackson? Hmm? You know how he died? Yeah? Killed by his doctor? Yeah? All planned by me. Took everyone's minds right off the child molesting thing.
So you're paying him to follow you around so that if you might die, he can make it sound cooler?
Precisely, that's what he's doing. You know, it's terribly boring how most people pass away these days. It's usually cancer or heart attacks. Ugh. I mean, I give people the chance to improve their legacy. I helped win 6 Darwin Awards.
Brett, how much are you paying him?
Whoa, Marge, it's a bit early to be asking about money. It's only our second date.
Fine, but let me get this straight. Despite the fact that you're in your late 20s, you're paying someone to follow you around in case you die and it's not awesome enough?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's very wealthy, you know. And with an ass like that, he's quite the catch, if I say so myself.
Stop it.
You're very wealthy.
Some might say he's stupidly so.
Not to be rude, but then why have you taken me to Wendy's?
Well, since he's hired me, he's been living life on the edge a bit more.
Wendy's is known to induce heart attacks, and there's a really good chance of salmonella.
So you brought us here so that you could be more likely to die?
Well, yeah, but also out of necessity. I'm losing a fortune to this guy. If I don't die soon, he's gonna bleed me dry.
So you're broke?
Not yet, but he makes me pay for his meals, drinks, nightclub cover, rub and tugs, hug and chugs.
This is ludicrous. I'm leaving.
Well, no, Marge, don't leave. Our food hasn't even come yet.
For your information, Brett, it's been sitting at the counter for the last 20 minutes.
Wait, what? Where's the waiter?
Why did you call her Marge? Does she remind you of Marjorie?
What? No!
It fits, you know, because she's kind of bland but palatable.
I never want to see either of you again.
No, Marge! I mean, Margaret, come back!
That's it! Maguire, margarine meltdown. Brett Maguire dies after asphyxiating on margarine in a suicidal attempt after losing his marginally attractive girlfriend. He was surrounded by a number of his not really friends and his sponsor. I can't believe it's not butter. I don't like Wendy's. I don't trust that old man or his ginger daughter. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
There you go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back with another half-hour sketch comedy next week. But coming up right away is, as promised, the White Noise After Show. That's a half hour to an hour and a half, however long we feel like, of us just playing some wicked music. And we're going to have
Wicked.
And we're also going to have a bit of chat, talk about issues within the show and some current events.
I'm not a big enough star and my name doesn't come first on the actors list.
It doesn't? I'm pretty sure it does.
Yeah,
voice talents of Connor Neckleput. Yeah, it's so always
it's a pretty big issue.
Jesus. Okay, we've got some politics to discuss. So we'll be back in a minute. What we're going to do right now is let you go to the bathroom, do whatever you got to do and come back.
No, what I meant is my name's at last. That's what I meant.
It is last. It's first and it's last on there. Yeah, you're a fussy bugger. All right, so we're going to start with Cecile de Kingwe, and this is her cover of an awesome Jimi Hendrix track called Manic Depression. So yeah, check it out. This is pretty bloody awesome. Oh.
celebrate the Year of the Monkey at the largest Lunar New Year event in UBC history. The UBC Centennial Lunar New Year Festival takes place February 5th from 12 to 5 at the Nest. Celebrate at this free event with food, games, arts and crafts, music, and dance performances for people of all ages. Learn more at diversity.ubc.ca.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
There you go. That was Rooms with It Followed Us Home, and that's off It Takes a Lot to Show Up. I really dig that one. That's a good new one on the playlist.
Yeah, it's a cool album. It's got a lot going for it.
Because we kind of struggled to pick one on that one to play, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, there were a couple of them that sort of, they all, I mean, as per an album, like, there's consistency enough that they all sound sort of similarly themed. Helps identify the artist, but a couple of good tracks there. So still distinctly different, but in a way that was comparably still, any of these are good.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, this isn't a music show, so we'll move on from our discussion.
Sorry, this is White Noise. My bad.
So what did you think of White Noise this week? Did you enjoy that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's always really a joy when we get some guest writers in. I think it's always... helps to spruce some things up a little bit.
Just adds a bit. Yeah, he only wrote one sketch. Calm down, mate. But
soon I'll have a best of. Connor's best of. No, it was a strong one, though. It was, I always enjoy them. It's a bit of a cop-out to say it's strong, I guess.
Yeah, I
don't think
really...
it was just very stellar. The best one, maybe. But I enjoyed it. It was fun.
I definitely buggered up Elvis this week. It wasn't deep enough at all. I sounded like I was from Florida. but that's okay. I'll get it better next week.
All right. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Okay, first question of the night. We're going to go with one of the sketches we did this week, of course, was Hitler's first rally, which, there's a lot of subtext there, and I hope you understood the point of it, but I'm not going to spell it out for anyone. That's not the idea, but... But one thing that I think is just an interesting question out of that one is if you were to, if you suddenly right now to take over Canada with your, let's not call it your Third Reich, but your basically total domination, that you can do whatever you want, you can create your utopia. Hopefully you're not going to destroy the world, but what would it look like? What are you banning? What are you enforcing? What's your utopia? What's your Hitler fantasy?
I'd make it more English again, to be honest. It's lost its vibe. I think there's a lot that Canada has to offer. Imagine the middle of Canada, right? I mean, like Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Alberta, massive provinces, nothing going on, like from farming and stuff, right? That space to
utilize.
They've
got Nickelback in Alberta.
Well, they had. Then they moved to North Dakota or something, trying to be closer to Hollywood. But like, there's space there that one could use in a good way. In a way that is conducive to the country's good and to its reputation on the world stage. What I'm thinking of is theme parks.
Oh, okay.
What I'm thinking of is, like, actually sections of Canada that are themed differently. Like, Saskatchewan can turn into, like, Waterworld or something like that, and you just redirect the Great Lakes and all the weird lakes, Big Slave Lake, Great Bear Lake.
Because...
You redirect all that water down there. Huge water park. Like, you could walk in and you could walk for a day and you wouldn't get to the other side.
Well, because of the sort of climate change problems, I think we should just make Richmond Waterworld, because it will be at some point, according
to underwater.
Experts. Yeah, because it's below the waterline.
So why wouldn't we call it Atlantis?
There we go.
But seriously, think of all that space there. And a lot of it is used, and a lot of it is used to help to produce stuff. But like, get rid of all that oil, tar, sands business. Like, get rid of all that rubbish. Let's make this place a cool place to be. Let's have a huge train, which already exists, going through Canada, already exists, stopping in the middle of Canada, already exists, to stop at, like, crazy theme parks and giant shit and, like... crazy things. Like, I want artists in there doing like their passion. I want there to be like a grungy world. I want there to be like a hipster world. I want there to be like a Disneyland.
You know, you could just sort of urban plan so that areas of cities have cultural in content.
No, but you can't rely on that.
you can only rely on theme parks.
We've laid this out as this is my totalitarian dictatorship.
Yeah, no,
and I don't trust peasants. So that's what's going to happen. I'm going to lock up anyone who wants to be a part of the United States or who wants to break off as part of Cascadia, because you know what, like, that's not happening under my totalitarian dictatorship. I'd also ban anything that comes from Australia, most notably spiders.
Or Australians.
And that. I would have an open door policy to New Zealand immigrants. Just despite the Australians.
Well, because they are like the Canada of the South Pacific.
Yeah, exactly. And Norway is like the Canada of Europe.
I'd say Wales is the
Wales?
Canada. Wales is the Canada.
Wales?
Listen, shut up. Wales is the Canada to England as Canada is to America. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's Scotland then?
Scotland's just... angry and loud. It's upset. It's really upset. Wales is, you know, not quite as upset, but...
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, so this is my society addiction.
Just reducing it to one emotion.
So I've redesigned all of Central Canada. I love BC. You know, Ontario and Quebec have their thing. Keep them the same.
An
I don't
economy.
Mind.
I think that's what they have.
Yeah, exactly. They bring the money in. And BC's beautiful. Yukon, like, keep it all the same. Indigenous groups can take care of their things in the places that they've been shunted to. I'm actually not going to touch that issue. Let them have as much say as my totalitarian dictatorship will allow. I'd probably encourage immigration. Say, like, there's a huge country here. Let's get some cool people in.
Yeah, I do feel like I'd be more comfortable being a dictator in England. I feel like I'd have more right to dictate there. And I wouldn't feel so weird about it. And I don't think I'd change as much from the norm there that they would be as bothered.
So, like, what you're trying to say is you want to be Prime Minister of the UK and not do anything differently.
No, I'm still going to, like, destroy most reality TV.
All right, fair enough.
I'm going to.
Actually, yeah, I'd ban that too. I'm going to throw that
I'd get rid of F1. I'd keep.
What?
F1? I'd keep
rallying. You'd keep NASCAR?
I'd keep rallying and I would keep other good. But I would fix it. Like, F1 is boring. It is the worst.
No,
like,
it's good. It's better than NASCAR.
No one's debating NASCAR's good.
I mean, we're not in Kentucky, I suppose. Yeah.
Like, this north of the, you know, 49th parallel.
The Columbia River.
But, yeah, so, I think I would do a few things like that. Also...
Okay, but so this, I would, this, I would, so, yeah, so this is now you're the dictator, but you have your dictator of Canada, so enough of this fancy-pancy, England.
Okay.
You know, they already has a king. You're going to be king of Canada. Simon Welton, king of Canada.
But the thing is, Canada's so disparate in the provinces and in sort of what
okay, well, we'll make
everything
smaller
is.
Ones.
That I would feel like, you know, you could... I would rather have a Greek-style city-state, an ancient Greek-style...
Like a frat
Athenia,
style, like...
No, an Athenia-style where we rule the city and have complete autonomy over the city so that we can control the economy and control trade and everything within the city. And that's way easier to manage because if you spread your power too far, you need far more resources to manage
it. Let me get this straight. You've been made King of Canada and your first decree is, I want to be King of Toronto.
I'm going to let the rest
of Canada fall into anarchy.
But that's the thing, though. I want to actually win at this game. So I'm Machiavellian my senses and going for the small... manageable.
Aren't enough city states in Canada for
well,
this to work.
I want a couple city states, you see.
All right, ones?
And then, so I'd have like Vancouver and Toronto. And then, if one of them's doing quite well on its own, then I'll like leave another manager in charge. I'll just come back
you'd
every
recruit
quarter.
A GM, okay.
You know, do it Jimmy Patterson style and just fly around to all my different city states.
You have two city states, Vancouver and
Basically,
Toronto.
Canada
is the second largest country in the world, and you've made two city states.
I do realize what would eventually happen is I'd make enough city states that suddenly I just have a massive Canada government again. I'm like, oh shit, I've done it again.
So you wouldn't inhabit, for the most part, Eastern Canada
but let's
and Vancouver.
Let's not worry about the logistics. Let's worry more about what's your philosophy, though. Like, is it a socialist state? Is it a laissez-faire capitalism state? What are we looking at?
I would have a laissez-faire in Saskatchewan somewhere.
Lazy affairs.
Lazy affairs. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I like to think, you know, I do, even being a dictator, I'd be benevolent. I admit, I'm a bit of a softy. I would like everyone to be pretty well off. I don't know. I mean, somewhere between, like, somewhere like a sort of limited capitalism or like a capitalism with like a nice little safety net kind of thing.
Capitalism with a C?
Lowercase C in italics with a little squiggly underline, that's sort of fancy.
What about an accent?
But the eye is kind of broken, like the top's fallen off, so it needs a bit of repairs because it's not perfect. I mean, I like the way things are. I'd encourage, like, you know, entrepreneurship, artists.
So it's a socialist democracy then?
Yeah, well, no, but it's not because I'm the king, so.
Okay.
So a socialist illusionary constitutional monarchy, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say socialist, though. I mean, edging that way. But I don't put labels to it, you know. I'm just going to call it Canadaship.
Canadaship. Lovely.
So I'm going to open up some kind of like Scandinavian-style prisons. I try to reform the prison system a little bit, make sure the criminals have a bit of a talking to, a bit of a slap on the wrist. but also give them some good life advice and send out to the world.
They're all just
going to
one by one, just sit on your knee and you can just sit there and just, you know, listen to them for a little bit. Is that the idea?
Well, not me personally, but I'd recruit a GM.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do it, you want to get it done properly, you should do it yourself, I think.
I did earlier claim I don't trust peasants, so fair enough. But I also want to go to Waterworld, so... Well, and the lazy fair.
Is this the Waterworld you're building, or...?
Yeah.
Did you ever go to Waterworld in Stoke-on-Trent in England when you were a kid?
Why would I go to Stoke-on-Trent?
Because they had Waterworld and Alton Towers.
Pretty sure they also had... Yeah, Alton Towers and all that, yeah. But in, like,
Alton Towers.
Outside London.
That's Chessington World Adventures, isn't it?
No, there is that as well.
Is there another Alton Towers down
there? Pretty sure there is, yeah. No, there is.
Is there?
Yeah.
All right, well, for those who don't know, Alton Towers is money. It's
Six Flags, whatever.
It's better. English Six Flags. Cool. I don't know. I remember, I loved it as a kid.
Okay, but what's your guiding philosophy for your candidateship?
I think, it would be sort of... You know, it wouldn't be that far off what we have now. It would be sort of a socialist democracy, but I guess it wouldn't be a democracy. But I don't know. So I guess it would be socialism is what it would be, but with a ruling class.
An aristocracy.
Yeah, which is if that's what we're agreeing, you know, is the requirement. Well,
no
of
one
this,
said that we were. But I like your thinking. So turn this to the feudal ages. I like it.
Well, we could definitely talk about how up until about the 17th century,
how
democracy...
How does a five-year plan sound?
See, at least we have mechanization already, so we've got a bit more
So we don't need people to go back to Saskatchewan to farm.
No.
We can just let the robots do it.
Yeah, exactly.
How would you treat slavery of robots?
Well...
It's a serious issue.
No, it's not. I don't care. They're robots. They don't have feelings.
What about animals? Like mules who work farms?
I wouldn't say I'm a speciest in that I'm not like going to...
You think dogs are the best?
I'm not gonna put my life on the line to prevent, you know, people eating meat and stuff like that. Like that is that's a very difficult subject. But I personally think we shouldn't eat as much, at least, or at least eat less beef and less.
Didn't you claim to you that you walked into Peter Pit and said, "No veg, give me meat"?
I never said that.
I thought you said that. Okay.
No, I had onions, green peppers, lettuce.
Yeah, but I thought that's because they made you.
No, stop! Don't smear my. Smear my name on the radio.
So, if we have competing candidates, I need to have some sort of campaign to make sure mine's the best one.
He doesn't get veg on his Peter. All right, we're going to play another song, come back. This next track is from a band called Real Lies, off their new album, Real Life. And this is Black Market Blues. I'm really digging this album, so I hope you do too.
Up really late tonight, waiting for light to shadow box. You wear in your face, or you do. Just at the ends you side you now. Each dawn you seem new to me. Black market fresh stars, black market blue. And I won't rest till ghosts haunt every corner of this city. From the storm drains of Brent to where we went to start anew. You young bold shivering thing, with eyes only for yourself. But that's okay. 'Cause I still feel it too. Rise up with the late tide. Don't let the night die on your watch. Show me some other place, not solitude. 'Cause they'd send me there for my mistakes, but they take years away. And all my nights were yesterdays till I met you. You're right for the bloodlines like you did when your romance was sprayed up on the motorway bridge. You left home with a warning, the kid that never came down. But you see more of the mornings than the wide suburban skies of your hometown. There is nowhere I would rather be than over you. There's no place that I could ever be. Get through to you. Going somewhere I for every old friend that I've lost. Every girl I love at school who got married to a ghost. And the absent sons and daughters who were waylaid on the road with Lebanon and the tears that fell. She's scared of getting old. You are the opposite fucking thing of a good reason to eat. You're the future of a place you've only been to in your sleep. You're the church bells in the morning when you've woken up cold. On the sofas you surrender to when you've been out being bold. You are the 5 a.m. exodus. You're the have you got a lie. You're every new friendship that dies quickly in a fight. You are the prodigal son hid in a phone box from the rain. You're in the shower Mondays whispering never again. You are the one with eyes that look like kids lost out wells. You're the last known secret, the friend that never tells. You are the straight through crew, not the time out crowd. I love my friends more dearly than I'm allowed to say aloud, to say aloud, to say aloud, to say aloud.
Tune in Sundays from 9 till 10 p.m. for bootlegs and B-sides with your host, Doran, for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends at UBC and the West Side, like Australian Boot Company, Dentry's Pub, The Bike Kitchen, Limelight Video, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
All right, you're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver.
You're taking his word for that.
You're listening to the White Noise After Show, and I was just rudely interrupted by Connor Neckleput, my special friend guest. Now I've decided you both of them, you're special friend guests.
Special friend dash guest.
You've been demoted after that interruption now, so I'm just going to... I'll just revoke your mic privilege a little bit.
You can put me down, but you'll never destroy my ideas.
So, my next question for you, sir, is, you know, within the sketches today, we had this character, the sketch you wrote, who did a weird job. What was his job again?
He was a necropathist.
Is that an actual job?
What do you think?
I don't know. Did you make that word up, or is that an actual...
No, it's real.
Okay, it is
no,
real.
No, it is actually totally made up. It's fictional.
Okay, I thought yeah. So. I mean... I was like, it's kind of near to necro and
nutritionist. It's not actually an actual job. It's just the title.
Okay. So, what weird job would you do if you could do a weird sort of job?
Anything? I don't know about weird job, but like a job that I would do that I think would be seriously underrated is I'd be the kit manager for a football team. I'd be the guy who's in charge of everyone's jerseys and who gets to sit with the team on the bench during the matches and gets to yell abuse at them and gets to do backseat coaching even though I'm not qualified.
It is a funny job because, I mean, it's a lot of pressure though because, like, you have one job.
You have one, yeah, exactly.
And if you don't do it...
If their shirt ends up missing, like, you're fired.
My brother went to watch a Whitecaps game down in San Diego and they somehow lost the team kit and they asked Whitecaps supporters who...
To
donate their shirt if they so my brother gave his shirt in. Apparently they didn't use it for a player, so they didn't put a name on it, but they used it as a blood sub as well. That's what his shirt donated for. I think it was a big shirt, so yeah. They were like, too big for anyone. And then he got a free shirt back that was signed afterwards.
Yeah, that's amazing. But like that'd be a great job though. I mean, you'd be in and amongst your favorite football team. Well, hopefully, I mean, ideally your favorite football team. You'd be rocking around their grounds, their training grounds, their sort of institution. I'm sure the salary isn't bad. Even if it was, like, I'm hanging out with a bunch of, like, football players.
Yeah. Well, it's
great success.
Like, being the groundsman at football club would be awesome.
Yeah, but you could actually get blamed for shit like that.
Yeah.
But the ground's all flat enough.
But you could also be like, what? It's nature. I can't do anything.
Wait, so
about
we're paying
it.
You to do nothing to nature? That's me. I'm the groundskeeper.
Or a BC place where it's AstroTurf. Like, yeah. That's going to be the easiest groundsman job in the world.
You just pick up the little rubber pellets to jump out.
Yeah, put some more down.
Tweezers and a peachy dish.
I think my weird job, if I could have one, would be being a pathologist doing autopsies. I just think that'd be kind of fascinating. And weird. I don't know if I'd want to do it for like my whole life, which is maybe why I haven't considered it, but at least for like a couple of weeks, I think it'd be fascinating to be a pathologist and investigate death through, like, you know, doing dissections on real people. I don't know, maybe that sounds sadistic, but
it does when you consider the fact that they actually might still be alive.
Well, hopefully not if I'm conducting an autopsy on them.
Sometimes it happens.
Well, I'll double check, you know.
I'll give them a little tap, make sure they're dead, and then I'll dissect them.
A little stab first, just give them a poke
in the eye,
you know, to see if anything's going on.
How do you know they have a little prick? Sorry, did you say little prick?
I didn't mean in that sense, but
because they might.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
is that
you're dead.
That's why you want to be a pathologist.
You're dead. I'm sure the blood isn't exactly jumping to your penis at that point. It's not a very important
so
part
kind
of
like
death.
Flop it round.
You know, at that point, your body's like, well, that dream's over. Let's
put use it to shoot little bits of paper.
So our next question, we added in two sketches this week, which weren't from this week, just to sort of pad it out. And that was why the sound quality went weirdly down at one point, because they weren't recorded this week. And apparently we recorded them in 1945. Ban the sound quality. But anyway, but one of the ideas that's in those sketches that I wanted to ask you was, is there anything you feel awkward about buying?
Not really. The things that I do buy that maybe I should feel a bit more awkward or sort of apprehensive about, maybe meat's going to open that kind of bag, whatever.
Really? Or else... meat? That's...
Well, yeah, but, oh, but like, you're ordering steak and then like, you might sort of think, oh, wait, where'd this come from, whatever. Like, so,
I meant something a little bit more risque. Yeah,
but the thing is, like, my other... So that is the one side to this. The other side is that I also just don't go and buy weird shit. So on the one hand, like if I go to buy some batteries, for instance, I'm like, these batteries, I'm going to put them in my Xbox controller, I'm going to use them. I'm not doing anything wrong.
So basically you're saying I don't get awkward because I'm boring.
Sometimes I get awkward when I go to the airport and I wouldn't go to the magazine section. Well, not even the airport, just go to the magazine section in like a gas station or whatever. And I'm going to find the crossword puzzles. But the crossword puzzles are conveniently located beneath all the nude magazines. And so I'm still looking on the section for ages trying to find the crosswords, whatever, the arrow words. And all I'm doing is, like, my eyes is going from left to right. And all it is like, topless women the whole way. And then I eventually get what I want, the one that's, like, right between them all. And I pull it out, and then I walk to the front of the show. By that point, I'm less awkward, but I still feel like this has been touching things I don't necessarily want to be associated with.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like,
I don't know where this pen's been. I know it's complimentary, but
that's. I mean, for me, that's the beauty of self-serve now in supermarkets.
Oh, self-serve.
If I want to buy, you know, like, because even if it's not for something,
you can get cheaper apples. You can get the more expensive ones and tell it than the.
Well, don't admit all your crimes on the air, mate.
Oh, I'm not saying I do. I'm an absolutely ethically motivated person who would condemn such activities.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is, like, I can go now to the supermarket, and if all I actually needed is Vaseline, because I use it when I run, and it's important, it helps.
When do you use it while you run?
when I do run. I haven't run lately, but...
So, okay, walk me through this. When you're running, you have it in your pocket, as you're jogging, you take it out, and it's kind of in your hand, it's going back and forth, and your finger's kind of inside, trying to grab a little bit to put it in your finger, and you're still going back and forth,
I put it on before I go running to help,
and then
help,
you put
like,
it around your tongue. What do you...
For chafing, and, like, on your nipples, and, like, your thighs, and things like that.
What are you doing to your nipples?
Running 10K at a time.
Why would you not run 5K?
Because I used to run marathons, so I would like be training, and so I would run stupid amounts.
So you get Vaseline.
Yeah,
and you just cut yourself with
it. I found out since then, actually, that talc is sometimes even better to like dry it out rather than trying to use some sort of lubricant. But yeah, like before...
Olive oil's good.
No, I don't think so. But before, though, yeah, I would feel awkward in that I would go to the supermarket and, like, just need Vaseline. I'm like, no, I've got to go buy a bunch of groceries so that I'm not just walking up there with
a tub
of Vaseline.
So then when you go up there and they go, apples, oranges, bananas, Vaseline?
I think, sir,
why is Vaseline in amongst your fruit purchases?
I think you're highly overestimating how much fruit I buy.
Grapefruit, aubergine, Vaseline again.
No,
what are you doing with two Vaselines and a bunch of fruit?
It's probably more like potatoes.
Potatoes aren't fruits, baby.
I'm saying potatoes, bottle of orange juice.
Actually, I think aubergines aren't fruit either, to be fair.
And a big Cadbury's milk bar. That's probably more.
See, that's what I feel awkward about. I'm like, I shouldn't get this. I shouldn't get this, Mr. Purser, checking me out.
You're always thinking like, oh, she's judging my
shopping. My pint of Ben and Jerry's. Yeah, we'll judge you on, but I'm going to enjoy it and you're not, so yeah.
She's like, seven craft dinners, Simon. And I'm like, I'm a student. I just want to like shout. That's why self-serve's great. I don't have to like explain myself. But I realized that woman who helps all the self-serves, you know, there's all that person.
Yeah.
There's all that person,
the person
there.
Who, yeah.
She could see what everyone's buying. So she can like, she's got a screen with it all. So she sees all dirty purchases.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's still someone who's there to judge you.
But she's multi-judging. You buy Vaseline to cover up the fact that you're buying seven craft dinners.
That's basically what happens.
And
right.
She just stares you down.
She does. She's like, what is going on with that kid? All right, we're going to play another song. This is another cracking new album. This is Beige Balat with Long Goodbye. And this is off Good Advice.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
All right, we're back on the White Noise After Show. This is Simon Welton and Connor Neckerput.
Have you ever thought about shaving everything but your moustache?
Oh, it looks terrible. I've done Movember.
Because you have a good-looking moustache, like very sort of robust moustache.
Probably at the moment.
I was wondering what it looked like if you like zapped all the rest off.
I'd look like a sex offender, probably, is basically what I look like. It's not a good look. It's not good.
Yeah. If you put on like a little hard hat and like a tan beige military outfit, you'd look like an English officer from the 1800s. Did you know that that was like the rate? If you didn't have a moustache and you were in the English army back in like the 1860s or whatever, you just weren't like man enough. You needed a moustache. Even in India, like the Indian soldiers and privates that they would sort of recruit would grow moustaches where their sort of religion allowed. They would just rock a moustache. And that was the chic. That was the vogue of the day.
I mean, your moustache is very sort of like Darling from Blackadder. What it would look like.
Blackadder?
Or John, what's his name?
Motson?
No one knows who John Motson is. Okay, so on our last question.
Let's leave it. Yeah, I don't know. John. I from Garfield.
Let's leave it. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember his name now.
Galifianakis?
It's not John.
Jake's brother.
I can't remember. I'll remember by the end of the show. Okay. John Waters. It's John Waters. last question of the night. Let's do a bit of current events. So we are on the cusp of the Iowa caucus in America.
Why Iowa? Just, to me, Iowa is the most random state of all 50 of them. There is, besides elections, what do you know about Iowa?
They do corn. They do a lot of corn.
What else do you know?
There isn't anything else to
exactly
know.
Every other state, you have some sort of image of something about that state that you go, oh, okay, I recognize that because of a monument or because, oh, hey, like, yeah.
Wyoming.
Wyoming.
What do you know about Wyoming?
Sheep. And also, oh, great. It's a square. And also, it's got like cowboys and lassos.
North
but
Dakota.
But that is a very close like third.
North Dakota.
It's got like Mount Rushmore.
Oh, damn. Okay, fine.
It's also got South Dakota. Follow that.
Iowa
sucks. It is my conviction that Iowa is the most useless and random state in all 50 of them.
Okay,
anyway,
well,
that's totally beside
the point.
But I needed to say it because I feel it's important. Because why are you making such a big deal about it when it's the most useless state in existence? There are failed states more useful than Iowa.
But maybe that's the beauty, is when you put it in a state where nothing else is going on, that's all they're going to talk about then. And therefore, you have a sort of containment on the news that's coming out of there, because it's only going
to
be caucus news.
Everyone goes there just to do the election. Like, literally, there's no news coming out of Iowa. The news goes into Iowa, so people go, in Iowa? Like, it's... The news that we can see coming out of Iowa is only a reflection of what's going into it. It's like a mirror.
It's still not as stupid as us having a monarchy. So let's not get too critical.
Wait. Who's us?
Well, Canada and Britain. So we
and
no, I'm just
both
saying
both countries are faring very well.
Okay, all right, but let's actually try and talk about what I'm meant to be bloody talking about, which is
so something about a caucus.
I haven't. Let me answer that. Let me say the
living
bloody
in Azerbaijan.
Question.
Are you now, you bastard?
Calm down, mate. All right, so. This is my question.
Yes.
The Iowa caucus is coming. So who is your Republican and Democratic? Who do you think is going to win both of those races? And who are their running mates, if you can name a running mate for them?
For the Democrats, I think it's funny. I think Bernie Sanders, at least in my Facebook feed, my sort of he's getting a lot of plaudits. He's getting a lot of support. But I still think the fact that I haven't heard as much support, I've actually heard like a lot of people criticizing Hillary Clinton. I still think she's got some. I still think she has a lot of people behind her. It's not quite as vocal. At least in my networking sort of area. So I do think it's a close race though. I might edge Bernie at this point. Actually, I think there's enough young voters who are on his side who could sway it. So I'm going to go with Bernie Sanders for the Democrats.
Mm.
I don't know who his running mate's going to be. He's probably his next-door neighbor or something.
Well, Elizabeth Warren would be perfect. Elizabeth Warren is basically the other socialist Democrat in Washington.
In that case, I'm going to go with that your suggestion. So that'd be my Democratic sort of running team. For my Republican running team, I don't think Donald Trump's actually going to win. I think he's going to cause some major havoc in the Republican Party for sure. I you know what? Just for the family connection, I think Jeb Bush is going to get it.
No, he's like honestly getting like 2% of the vote right now.
Yeah, but you know what? Always got to back a dark horse. And I think that none of the other Republicans are going to run with him. So Sarah Palin's going to make a resurgence.
Well, the interesting thing is there has been a slight change in tone from the Republican camp in the last couple of weeks in that
they're being more camp.
A lot of the establishment within the sort of Republican core are starting to warm to Trump, partly because they'd actually still prefer Trump over Ted Cruz.
Who's Canadian.
Who that's the least of his problems.
Apparently it's a huge problem, though.
Yeah, but no, he's got way bigger problems than that. He's
related to Tom.
He's absolutely nuts. It's spelled different, sorry, mate. But so it's interesting. But if Trump gets the nod and is running on the Republican ticket, who is his running mate?
Well, it's not going to be a woman.
And
it's not going to be any of the people he's been dissing for the last 20
weeks.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to think. Like, who could he possibly have?
His dad?
Because he's not going to have anyone who's too respectable that they don't want to be, like, sort of brought down in the ball of flames that is
I don't know if that's true. I feel like he could go for someone that is maybe a quote-unquote more respectable to give him a bit of, like, a balance.
Well,
if the struggle is getting that person to agree to it, that would be the struggle.
And that is always the strategy if you're a bit of an unknown, because even Barack Obama was only a two-term senator. So then he picked Joe Biden, who had huge experience.
Which is just a good move if you're in politics. I mean, like, talk about what you want about like being within the system and being maybe a bit too narrow-minded or not looking outside the system for other solutions. But having someone who's been around the game a while, who knows a lot of stuff, who has experience, I think is important, especially if you're a younger candidate.
Yeah, but I wouldn't exactly call Trump young.
I'm not talking about Trump as much in that, but to use that sort of comparison that you've brought up.
But as an outsider of Washington, he should. Which is interesting, though, because it does create this problem in his rhetoric in that he's meant to be not the Washington insider and to be, in his eyes, changing things from the outside. So if he picks someone who has a pedigree as a senator or, has been in Congress a long time, that does then perhaps create a contradiction with it. Not that he isn't already contradicted himself plenty of times, but a rather glaring one that he would have to then somehow explain his way out of, at least under scrutiny of the media at some point, especially when it came to like the presidential debates that would follow. It's a really interesting puzzle.
And where does Ben Carson fit in this? He was back into his box for a while.
No.
And now, he's getting pressed for a while, at the very least.
He was, but he's...
But like, what happened to him? Did he just, like,
he opened his
saying...
mouth. That was the problem. The guy's mental. The guy's absolutely nuts.
We're talking about the Republican Party in someone not being mental.
But he brought up the example of him... he's like, yeah, I'm tough on crime and I'm brave or whatever. And so he brought up the example of he was in a chicken franchise restaurant and a man ran in and held a knife to him. And his, was like, basically, give me the money. And his response was, I don't work here. I think you want that guy over there. And this was like his example of cool and like... calculated and a clever, well-together man being like, oh, you don't want me? Go stab that
fella. The Taliban come and threaten America. Oh, you don't want us. You want Canada.
You want France. Yeah. They're over there. They're the Charlie Hebdo guys. You're in the wrong country. So
who gets your nod then? So you've been talking about it's difficult, but who do you fathom from the obscurity?
Well, yeah, I mean, in years past, you would say maybe one of the people he loses to in the primaries. but I don't think any of them want to talk to him after the primaries, because unless they're that desperate that they'll just go in.
But you know, they might as well. You know, you never know. Because I feel like as much as Trump's rhetoric is very aggressive, I also feel like he might be willing to go, all right, guys, I beat you. Any of you want to join my team? And then it's them, like, personal, like, ego and, like, pride, or, well, that's a step closer than I am now. Let's see where that takes me, maybe.
Okay, I got a super team for you for the Republican ticket. So it's Donald Trump with running mate Chris Christie.
Okay.
You know, the New Jersey governor. Yeah,
New
Jersey governor. He's a bit of a wheeler dealer himself. He's a Jersey boy.
Yeah.
You know, he likes his dinners.
He likes good coffee.
And, you know, he's also shady as hell. Like, it looks like he probably basically created a traffic jam on a bridge.
Yeah, he did that, didn't he?
Yeah, just out of spite of the people there. So he's an interesting guy, but has a lot of appeal because he is quite passionate and seems to be quite loyal to
New Jersey, the
places he's governing. Yeah. So. I think that could be a very interesting ticket.
Trump and Chris Christie.
Oh, imagine that, though. Trump and Chris Christie.
Sarah Palin.
No. Trump and Chris Christie versus Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. That would get me more excited than UFC.
Versus
I think that
the
battle
independent faction being Michael Bloomberg's late entry to the entire...
Yeah. Well, just to crap all over everything.
Just because it's not a cluster already.
And then the skies part and God comes down and goes, what have you done? Like, I tried to help you and this is where you end up. Like,
Charlie Bill from backcountry Iowa.
Noah, we need you again, mate.
You are my champion.
No, we're just going to flood the whole thing Noah style.
Everyone who says Noah, you're fine.
No, not you, Mel Gibson. No, you pretended to be Noah. Oh, no, that was Russell Crowe.
Yeah, but actually, still going to flood Australia too. Not you guys.
But because of Russell Crowe. All right, we're going to play a song, come back for a tiny little bit more, and then we're out of here. So this is Brandy Carlile. Carlile? Is it Brandy? Brandy Carlile, The Things I Regret.
Lonely miles without you.
Yeah, back with the White Noise After Show. Time's just about up for us. We will be back next week with another half hour sketch comedy and another half hour to an hour of us just chit-chatting, talking about what's going on in the show and some current events and as we do, and playing some wicked music. Just before we go, just a quick reminder for all you comedy fans out there that there is, in fact, a pretty awesome thing going on in Vancouver soon, which is the Just for Laughs Northwest, which has a load of huge comics coming through town, but also a lot of local shows are putting in their own stuff. The Kingshead Comedy have got some special events going on. Kyle Bottom's comedy is also doing a few things.
White Noise will be pretty active.
Yeah, we're not involved in the festival, unfortunately. But
we can make ourselves parasitic.
We'll have our own festival, and also the Sunday Service, which are awesome improv guys. They're going to be doing some things. Big acts, of course. Bill Boyer was here last week, a week before.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a great show. I think he did two shows actually that night, and then
did you see both of them?
No, just went to one of them. David Cross is coming February 2nd, which is next week. And then there's lots of this. Trevor Noah is coming through from The Daily Show. Wanda Sykes. What's the angry guy from The Daily Show? What's his name? He's coming as well.
Steve Carell?
No. The old bloke who's... Oh, what's his name?
Is his name Randy?
No, Lewis Black. That's who it is. Lewis Black's coming, and a few others. So, yeah, definitely check out some live comedy while you can. And also make sure you tune in next week. We'll have another half hour of sketch comedy, as always, here for you. If you have any comments or questions about the show, send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. Thanks again, Connor, for being here today.
Of course. If you have any complaints, feel free to email them to hatewhitenoise@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you, Connor, for that. So we're going to leave you with one more song tonight. It's from a British artist. He used to be in The Coral, and he also helped write one of the Arctic Monkeys albums. It's Bill Ryder-Jones, and this is off his latest solo album called West Kirby County Primary, and it's Catherine and Huskinson, this song. So have a good night, and we'll see you very soon.
Just getting in. The pubs and the bars will be open soon, but I'm so happy here. I love you the most and it goes into daydream. The dogs from downstairs started barking. Jill from next door is on nights and she'll be fucking human. Baby, say you'll never go out walking alone. Sitting in the park when it's coming on. Talking with the bones of Huskisson and Catherine. Listen to the widows and the carry-on. Talking with the bones of Huskisson and Catherine. Baby, 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 don't you despair. Cause you play with your head.
It's getting cold and all your waters are dust. Let me go, just can you let me go? I just wanna be told if that's winter in your sky. Are you safe enough for me in the night? I held your head as you threw shit up over yourself and then we go walking in the morning. Catherine and Huskerson. Oh, Catherine and Huskerson. I spend my mornings over on Catherine, baby.
Hey, it's Prophecy Sun. When I'm not riding my bike, hanging out with my cats, or making soup, I'm listening to Tweets and Tunes on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether